during the afternoon, we were having lunch, and then the owner of the hotel comes to us, because, mind you, there's no campground in Nicaragua, so you have to park like in the hotel parking lot and stuff like that. So we were on the beach. Oh. And the owner says, well, it's no biggie right now, but I heard on the radio that there was a earthquake in El Salvador creating a small tsunami.
I don't think a tsunami was the family adventure they were thinking of. But man, what a great story to share. Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast, the show where we share stories and advice on building up your marriage and wealth. I'm Elle Martinez. Have you ever imagined taking an epic trip together? Now, not a one-week vacation or a cruise to the Caribbean. Those are fun. But I'm talking about leaving your job, your house, and exploring some part of the world for a while. What usually happens, though? As you're dreaming, your mind starts getting hit with questions. How are we going to pay for this? Would we be able to find a job after we get back? Could we sell our house? And if you have kids, how are they going to deal with it? They're normal questions and concerns to have. I take it as a sign that you're someone who thinks things through. But wouldn't it be fun to shake things up a little? Mike is on the show today to help you go from dream to reality by sharing his story and take on things. He and his wife are wrapping up a year-long trip they took as a family of five through the Americas. In this episode, we look into how they prepared their finances and themselves for their RV trip. We also talk about dealing with difficulties on the road and how you can start building some income on the side for your own adventure. While Mike has always been, as he likes to call it, chaotic, this trip wasn't a last-minute or impulsive decision.
Yeah, it all started almost 3 years ago. It took us 2 years to plan it. And what happened back then is my wife had a daycare at home. Mm-hmm. She used to work in a daycare for about 10 years. And then when we started to have kids, she was a stay-at-home mom for the first two kids. And then when we had Caleb, he was kind of like running around with nobody. So she opened the daycare, and it's a lot of work. She was working like from like 6 in the morning to almost 6 p.m. at night. And then she was like, you know, I don't want this for the rest of my life. And she started to like read about stories about family going on trips. And the first family we heard about was a family that went for a bicycle trip down to Mexico. So we started talking about this, and I thought it was a bit intense to go like cycling. Mm-hmm. So we thought, how can we do it?
The two of them began brainstorming a couple of ideas before finding the right one.
So the first version was, well, let's do a world around trip and like live in 2-3 months in different countries for a year. But with five of us in the family, airplane tickets, renting cars, or like going for apartments on Airbnb was just too much for us. So this is why we started thinking, well, if we can move with our home, then we save on camping, we save on a restaurant. So this is why we decided to buy an RV like a year before our trip to try it out, because we never had an RV before. So didn't know much what to expect from it. And after a year of practice, we decided that we were good to go. And this is how the project was took place.
Okay, so I had to have Mike back up just a little bit, because it never occurred to me that there would be such a long training period. I had this notion that maybe you need a couple weeks to learn how to move that thing. Turns out there's much more to prepare for.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's a pretty small space for five people compared to living in a house. So that's the first thing, is to get used to like all living in the same space. So, you know, at home, like kids are very independent. So they cook their own breakfast whenever they want and stuff like that. But you cannot have this happen in the RV, because one person is cooking, that person is pretty much taking like 50% of the space available. So you cannot have like kids running around and like going from the bathroom to their bedroom, because it's exactly the same space, right?
Yes.
So, and we needed to know like how to like manage resources, because within the RV, you have a propane tank, you have like, we had solar panel to be, to have electricity all the time. So we had to learn how to manage all the sources of powers and stuff like that, how like everything works. And so this is why we wanted to do a little practice. And especially when you pack up for a year, you have a lot of stuff inside the RV. And this thing is not like a sport car. When it turns, everything moves inside. So then you learn that you have to lock everything. All the cabinet and stuff like that has to be attached or something, because things are flying across the RV when you turn.
Gotcha.
So those are the kind of thing that we need to learn before we leave.
In the meantime, the two of them were working on their finances. If it were us, I'm pretty sure my husband would want to save up the whole amount before we left. But that's not what they were thinking. Mike had another idea. He was looking at what he wanted to do for income after the trip as well. So he came up with a plan.
15 months before the trip, because I used to work in the financial industry as a private banker. Mm-hmm. And I was working like evening and nights on my websites. Because we didn't have time to save like whatever is going to cost me, maybe like $70,000 for the year. We didn't have time to save for that in 2 years. So what we did, instead of like trying to save as much as possible, is I worked as much as possible. So 3-4 days a week, I was working from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning, and still keeping my day job at the same time. Yeah, well, this is how I've built my online income in the meantime. So I was making enough when we left to support most of the trip. And so far, I mean, we're coming back home in 6 weeks now, and I've borrowed like $15,000 for the trip, besides like what my online income cannot support. So that's pretty much like what happened there. And what we decided during the trip is I really like what I'm doing online. So even though right now my website, it doesn't make enough to support my lifestyle at home for now, but I decided to quit my job anyway and just work full time once I come back. Cause I realized that one day I'll be waking up like being 50 or 60 and realize that I really regret not trying to build my company online.
Yeah.
And that I decided, you know, right now is the time, and I've been doing that as a sideline for 10 years. And each year I had a good excuse of not quitting my job. Like, I have a pension plan, the paycheck is good, and I pretty much like my job. You know, you keep hearing stories about people that they were struggling or hating their job or not happy because their boss were on them. But I had a really good job, and I was good at it, and I was kind of happy about it. But I just figured, you know, I want to move forward. I want to do my own stuff. I want to own my company. And when I work, I want to work for myself. And right now is the right time to do it.
Okay, so you heard that, right? He was a private banker, making really good money, and he's planning on switching to an online business. I admit, it might sound risky, but you have to understand that this wasn't an impulsive decision.
I know it's not a gamble because, you know, when I was working more for that 18 months before we left, the income started to increase. So I've kind of like tried it. There's a correlation between the number of hours put into the website or any kind of ideas of business ideas you can have and the outcome of it. So what I decided to do is once I come back in July, I'll be working between 50 to 60 hours for at least 6 months before I know that the online income will pick up, and then I'll be able to like just work normal hours after that. But I know this is what is coming for us in the next 6 months or so.
So if you thought about making more money on the side, now would be a good time to start, because you can develop and hone your business before you start to rely on it. Mike had some great tips for those starting out.
Well, at the beginning, I would say not to have high expectations. I mean, you can expect to make a lot of money on the long term, but results are not happening overnight. So you need to work a lot of hours for several months in a row before you can see something happening. And don't go for the short time win. Try to think about what's going to happen in 6 months, in a year, in 3 years. And this is how you should build your business. For example, right now, I'm making more emphasis on getting people subscribing to my free newsletter because I want to build as many, the biggest audience I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be able to grow my membership website. Because, and the secret, I think, is to have your own product. So then you're in full control of that part. When I started financial blogs back in 2006, the first model we had was to sell links and rely on Google AdSense, basically. So we made a lot of money like this, but eventually Google catches up to us and selling link is not as profitable as it was. AdSense, same thing. But now that we have our own product since 2013, well, it's our own product, so we manage it as we want. And as long as we offer quality for it, clients are still on board and they're willing to pay for that membership or yearly membership website. And I think this is the most important thing, is to think about the long term. Mm-hmm. So don't try to make money within the first 6 months, but think how you can make a lot more in a year or two.
Yeah, this podcast isn't about quick wins or people becoming millionaires overnight. It takes a lot of work. But speaking about expectations, Mike had some wonderful stories and advice about life on the road.
The way you expect your trip to be and the way it's happening is two different things. You know, at first we thought, my wife will do school in the morning. I'll be an activity or something, or I'll visit a museum.
Yeah.
That probably never happened in 300 days of traveling. I was quite surprised because we really had three different reaction. My oldest son is William. He was 10 at that time, and he kind of became an adult very quick. He was very helpful, and he really enjoyed having this liberty of not going to school every day and doing his stuff whenever he wants. So he was helping a lot. While Amy, my daughter, which was 9, her was a bit lost, I would say, because she's used in a structured environment, going to school and having, deadlines and stuff like that. And now, especially the first months, we were pretty much just, we wake up one day, we like it, we don't like it, we just up and leave, go somewhere else.
Nice.
So she was kind of lost in that kind of environment. So it's kind of funny because she had very good grades at school. And now she was the one that has having the most argument with my wife about school, because she didn't feel like she was, with rules and stuff. So she was a bit lost in that. And my third one was probably the easiest one to manage, because Caleb was 4 when we left. So basically his definition of life is traveling across the world. So you just get accustomed very quickly, because he didn't know, he didn't have much friends back then, because mm-hmm. he didn't go to school and everything. So it was very easy for him to just up on board and just travel across the world.
Even though for the most part, things went well for their trip, there were still times where it got stressful. As a couple, in a family, communication can make a huge difference.
We're kind of on the same pace. And what I've learned, because we met a lot of other families traveling with on our trip, and it's important to be a very good team together, because you go through all kind of emotions and all kind of amazing situation. But, sometimes it's amazing and sometimes very bad. And the bad situation are 10 times worse than they were at home, because you're not in your country and you're not in control. So if you're not part of a good team, if you don't communicate to each other, and if you don't let the other person about your emotion and what you think, this could turn very bad. We just tell the other, I don't like this place, or I'm not comfortable, or my day was crap. Don't have to worry about not saying things, because this is the worst part that could happen for anybody traveling. It needs to get out automatically. And at first, what we did with the kids is we used to have one supper per week, where we would discuss what happened during the week what did we like, what we did dislike, and what can be done for next week to be better. Because, I mean, your kids are part of that trip too, and it's important to remember it's not their decision. They have to follow you, but it's not their decision. So it's important to, like, make them part of the process.
Mike really wanted this trip to be an opportunity for all of them to bond and share this experience together. And in one case, that meant being stuck with two forces of nature.
On our way to Costa Rica in November, we were in Nicaragua for about, like, 2 weeks at the same place. And we were basically waiting until December 1st because we rented a house in Costa Rica. And what happened there is there was that Hurricane Otto that was coming to hit either Costa Rica or Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. So we were not sure what's going to happen at that time. And I wasn't quite sure if the RV would survive a tropical storm or a hurricane. And on the day that the storm was supposed to hit where we were, during the afternoon, we were having lunch, and then the owner of the hotel comes to us, because, mind you, there's no campground in Nicaragua, so you have to park, like, in the hotel parking lot and stuff like that, so we're on the beach. And the owner says, well, it's no biggie right now, but I heard on the radio that there was a earthquake in El Salvador creating a small tsunami coming on Nicaragua coast. Yeah. So then, at first, we're not that alarm, because he said, well, worst comes to worst, we're going to have, like, a wave of, like, maybe 1 or 2 foot high, so it's not that bad, but I mean, just want to warn you guys. And then 15 minutes later, the siren goes on, and it was like, it was incredible, because you hear, like, all the people upping in pickups, screaming, gathering, like, women and children and dogs, and they were telling me, like, it was screaming, like, get in your RV and get out. So we had to drive for like 5 miles to make sure that we were on a safe spot. And thank God, nothing happened on that place. The tsunami hit like 25 miles up north.
Yeah.
And then, so we came back and we were just like, okay, now we have to wait for the hurricane to hit us like later on today.
So a tsunami and a hurricane.
Yeah, wow. on the same day. So that was like quite demanding for us on emotional perspective. So we just like, you know, and it was like, well, we just get the tsunami. So let's get pasta, have wine, and then wait by the beach to see what happens. So the night went on very smooth. And it's kind of funny because we had wrapped up the whole RV, had like a huge plastic, like I made a huge plastic bag out of it. So it was all wrapped up to make sure that there was no leak possible. Mm-hmm. And finally, the tropical storm hit like 75 miles south of where we were. So the next morning we woke up and we just realized that, you know, in life, you don't have to worry about what could happen. You just have to live through it. And, you know, if bad things happen, they will happen. And if they don't, they don't. But there's nothing, you know, you have to learn how to let go of that control, because you're not the one in control in those kind of situations. And starting at that moment, we kind of felt that we were invincible, in a sense that we were not afraid of anything anymore. Because we just realized that when you go forward, I mean, most likely good things will happen to you. And for the rest of it, well, you just have to deal with it. But there's nothing much you can do about it.
Special thanks to Mike for being a part of the show. If you want to see what his next adventure is, please check out his site, chaos1981.com. You can also go to thedividendguyblog.com and get updates on their road trip. I'll have the links up in the show notes as well as resources so you guys can prepare for your own epic adventure. If you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You'll get the latest stories and tips on building your wealth together sent to you. It's free and easy. We're out there on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and more. You can also grab the feed off our site so you can listen to it from whatever podcast service app you prefer. If this podcast has helped you with your finances, either dumping debt, saving more, or just talking about money together, could you leave a rating and review? It'll get the word out so other couples can build their wealth together. Our theme song was written and performed by Gentle Regime, additional music by Lee Rosevere, and music for Makers. Finally, I want to give a special thank you to you. Couple Money Podcast is made possible because of listeners like you. I hope you have a great week. Take care.